what you think, what's your mindset in the situation that's really going to make a big difference. So when I thought about submission, the question that came to my mind is, why are you submitting? So as a woman, why are you submitting? You're submitting because you have a good husband. You're submitting because he takes care of you. You submit because he is mature. You submit because he has money. I don't know. Why are you submitting to him? But the only good reason in all of this is because God has asked us to. And I think if we can keep that in front, you had a question, sister? Okay. All right. So, why are we submitting? And I'm saying it must come back to the fact that we are called to submit to God. God is the one who has called you to submit. It's not has nothing to do with how good he is, how nice he is, how strong he is, anything like that. I mean, all those would be nice, and they probably would be helpful. But the real reason you are submitting, or the real reason you should be submitting, is because God has asked you to submit. And so the focus then is, how can I be pleasing to God? Forget about pleasing the husband. How can I be pleasing to God? That is your first and your primary focus in this thing. And that now is going to put the emotion to a second place, and it's all putting the intellect in front, because this is now thinking. God is there, what would God have me to do in this scenario? Because when he's doing the wrong, doing something that you don't agree with, when he's doing stuff that you don't like or whatever else and thing, it's easy to get wrapped up in the emotion. But if you keep going back to, what would God have me to do, then it helps you to keep focus. And Christianity is a strange thing. People think that Christianity is impractical. How can people glory in tribulation? How can people find joy in affliction? How can we be blessed? And in the same scenarios, these things sound impractical in marriage as well. We're dealing with submitting in a situation where you seem to be at odds at where certain in where decisions are concerned, or where certain that is to be able to submit in that situation, or to be happy submitting, seems an oddity or something strange. But again, if we are focused on, is this what God would have me to do, then I can find reason, I can find joy in doing what I am doing, because I am pleasing to God. And that is my focus.
Thank you so much, Brother Kalam. Thank you so much.
You know, I would almost yield to him, you know, because he was doing very, very well. Very, very well. Seriously, by the way, excellent opening, excellent. I don't even know if I have much to add. But the idea of the psychology of it is, as Kira mentioned, where is my mindset? I think one of the things, though, that affect us is that the human part of us interfere with, you know, the emotional part of us interfere. And the idea that trust and fear, I think, are two elements that interferes with whether or not I will submit. There are folks who might be thinking, hey, all right, I submit, but what am I going to get if I choose to submit? So from a certain standpoint, it's as if to say, I need to know what is the end result first before I choose and decide to submit. If I don't feel like I can get treated good, then I understand, so no submission. We almost have an anti-pain mentality to say, or anti-pain, to say that, listen, if I'm going to feel hurt in this whole process, then you know something, I don't want to be a part of this. And if submission means that I'm going to expose myself to get hurt, then count me out. And so that is a part of the psychology that affects a lot of women as far as submission is concerned. I know we mentioned another, because I know my 2 minutes almost up now, but I know we mentioned, Raquel mentioned keeping the peace. I have here, if you make your choice, back your choice. Many women complain about their choices. So keeping the peace. So if they're going to come over to keep the peace, are they keeping the peace and complaining about their about the sacrifices they have to make to keep the peace? So from one standpoint, they are still complaining. So, okay, I'm going to submit, and I've done this. But yet they are still complaining about the choices that they made to keep the peace. Hence the psychology of it. Losing one's identity. I many times remind folks that marriage does not validate you. You need to know yourself before you give yourself. If you come into the relationship to be discovered, you might be disappointed. And so please remember that the person's opinion of you doesn't identify who you are. And so that's why sometimes folks lose their identity. It's because they allow it to be lost, or there's a codependency, or they didn't even have one in the first place and want to find themselves in or through the other person. And so they need to hear words of validation to make them feel good. And so submission isn't one of the words of validation for me to feel good. I'm feeling trapped. Let me stop now because I can talk about the others still. But I'm just saying, that's my 2 minutes.
We got a fair view of the psychology of submission. Do we have any questions or comments that you want to? And going forward, when the speakers are speaking, you can just indicate by a show of hands if there's a question, just to get the thing going, and then I'll.
Thank you. I just want to comment, though, on the whole question of submission and what are we submitting? What are the ladies submitting to in the relationship? Because, you know, you, as the speaker mentioned, that you have interference, and some of these interferences are so adverse to the point where it affects your ability to submit, because psychologically you're not comfortable, the whole question of trust and all those sort of things. So if there are something in terms of the what God said, yes, we need to submit and we are to be there in hell or high waters, but the interfering factors are something that affect the central strength of the whole thing. I think, though, that back in the army, and when you're going to fight a war, you study what is the enemy's center of gravity. That's what they said. That is the things that make the enemy strong, and you can exploit it also. It is that kind of approach that I would want to suggest, where in the relationship we seek to discover each other, center of gravity. What is it that holds the relationship together? What is it that causes us to respect each other and have a better understanding of each other, and then to compromise? You know, the question, whenever time you have two persons hitting head against each other, and no one, man, in normal thing, people strong in will from time to time, and will hold on until thy kingdom come to their point. And unless you arrive at some understanding where you agree to disagree, or some sort of a compromise, then it will affect how the submission takes place in the whole thing. And I think we need to have a better understanding that the submission doesn't mean that yes, master, or something to that effect. But to recognize that they have a responsibility to support the relationship, bearing in mind the whole direction and command from God that we need to submit.
wanted to make any feedback? All right. I think...
Good night, everybody. I think for submission, a lot of persons, especially the women, it's how we interpret submission that is, I think is one of the problems. And because, and I'm not sure if it's how we are taught in the secular world, in our corner life, what submission is. And because of that, we think that it's, as you said, the man should is over you constantly. Everything you have to obey and everything like that. And so a lot of women they will argue a point to say that they don't see why they should be submissive to their something, and they have an opinion too and things like that. But it's because of the understanding of what submission is, and according to the Bible as well, because we tend to put the meaning to submission according to what the world tells us and not what the Bible tells us. And something, and because of that, no, we try to mix the two, and we can't see ourselves being that way, because we are looking at it how the world look at it and saying, this is the way a woman should be submissive. But if we look at it how God wants us to look at it, then we have a better understanding and to appreciate the commandment that God gave to us.
Thank you, sister. And I think that is one of the main reasons we are here, to look at the biblical reasoning of the psychological and stuff, submission. I have a question for Brother Casey, and it is phrased, what role, and I know Brother Morris just said something on that, what role does fear, trust, and experience plays in a wife's ability to be submissive? What role does fear, trust, and experience plays in a wife's ability to be submissive?
The question sounds like the question that I would ask myself. Excellent question, actually. Don't know if I can answer it, but I will try. It was an excellent question. Let me try and deal with them separately. So the first one is what role does what? Yeah. What role does fear play
in a wife's ability to be submissive?
Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3, one of the comments, if I'm not mistaken, that was given to the wife as it relates to her submission was the fact that she must not give way to fear. Can I look back at it again? Verse 6, if I'm not mistaken. That she must not give way to fear. That she is the daughter of Sarah. And look at how Sarah went about to honor her husband. See, sometimes you see, that fear comes about, and I'm going to go back into experience now, because of what you see happen to other wives, be it into your own mother. You might recognize that, boy, the way I see my father treat my mother, me nah submit to no man. You see what I'm saying? The fear factor, and the experience. So because of the fact that she has experienced or see or have this kind of experience as far as somebody feeling violated or abused, or she has interpreted the actions of her father as one that is abusive towards mom. Mom don't have any say. Mom could not talk. Mom feel like she's in a prison. Everything mom have got asked permission to do. Mom can't call nobody. Mom can't talk to nobody. Mom don't have an opinion already. Bark after mom all the time. All of those things. If a child growing up and see that kind of behavior or experience, had that experience, then right away, as far as he's concerned, to protect myself, because I can go into extremes. One, where I go totally don't like man, a man wicked, a man worthless, and submit him as a mad. Or number two, I mirror the same actions as my mom. And I find that I, in psychology, it's called multiple victimization, where I continue to make the same kind of choices that I've experienced, bad choices, that is, in men. And so as far as the fear and the experience, and what's the next one? And trust. I mean, how do I, if those who I love and adore, you know, this is the way I see, and I clearly don't support, because then remember, no, you know, it is mom who come back and I see mom crying. It's mom who I see, you know, where I have to be hushing mom. Or mom does not talk to me, you know, about the troubles that she's having with her husband in the relationship. I say, don't ever marry to a man like your father. Yeah. No, I'm serious. And so I say, how can she trust when the two persons that she's supposed to learn trust from, it is not forthcoming. So,
I think
that kind of...
Yeah, I'm going to get to your comment, but I just wanted to quickly add, or to just explain quickly, in terms of like the Christian woman, as probably that is the general, you know, it could be right across the board, whether Christian or non-Christian, but what would be the responsibility on the Christian woman? She's in the church, and she, as a Christian husband, regardless of all those experiences, what would be a good advice for that Christian woman, regardless of the culture?
It's a different question, Luke. The first one was what the ability of the what role and the ability,
right,
if she had these things. And I'm saying her ability to make the adjustment becomes, as far as the fear factor, the trust factor, and the experience. Because if she had these negative experiences, then understand that's why she's going to give in to fear. And so even when the passage asks, you know, that you are her daughters if you don't give in to fear, it's like that passage is for them, the kind of people. That passage I cannot relate to that passage, because my experience, my real life experience, supersede what this passage is saying. So that's what I mean. But let me try and say something about that, or maybe the other two persons would think there. I'm curious.
All right, let's get back. Let's hold on. I know. Brother Pitt, you want to say something probably on this one.
Thanks. Greetings. When you have a mixed marriage, I saw an article some time ago where husband and wife was standing before the Lord, and they were Christians, and they said both, says, "Speak, Lord, thy servant hear it." But the other side was a woman alone. "Speak, Lord, thy servant hear it." Then another side was a man alone. "Speak, Lord, thy servant hear it." When you have the mixed marriage situation where the husband is an unbeliever, the wife is an unbeliever, that makes life difficult. But when you have both person Christians, them listening to God for instruction, they're not making decisions on their own.
I think I don't know if what Brother Pitt says that is a part of the answer to the second part of the question. Right. So, but I think his comment is a kind of answer to the question. Something like that.
No, I was just contributing.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah. Well, the point that I wanted to make, just to add to what Brother Andre said earlier, is that for sure, the element of fear and neglect can really get in the way of being submissive. I think that's the summary of what he's saying. Because of the element of fear and doubt and mistrust, it can get in the way of being submissive. But and also your view or the wife's view of her husband will definitely affect how she relates to him. You know, we have to remember that. The wife's view of her husband will affect how she relates to him. And so both persons have to come to a point of understanding. And like Kiri mentioned last week, when when we remember that the husband is called to love his wife as Christ loved the church, right? And when you have that understanding that my husband will love me or is striving to love me as Christ loved the church, and I'm striving to be respectful, to be submissive, to give support to my husband in the same way that so that we can work together, then it makes a difference when I know that I have my husband's back and he knows that I have his back. But the element that Andre spoke to in terms of when somebody has a previous experience or they have seen in their own family or their parents in terms of how that impacts them, it's going to come through education, like forums like these where we make an effort to have further discussion, to have training about what submission really means and how we should make an effort to come to a better understanding of what submission is, what is love, and how Christ wants us to relate to each other in a marriage situation or even in relationships. I'm not sure if everybody's getting the point I'm trying to make, but the idea is that, of course, your view of your husband will affect how you relate to him. But the idea is that your husband is called to love, the husband is called to love the wife as Christ loved the church. And if you see that he's making that effort, then it becomes much easier to submit. It becomes much easier to work with him. And remember, too, that we are called to give support to our husband. And so when the element of submission and love, respect and love, works together, then it becomes easier to work together and to submit to each other.
Yeah, I was trying to remember, maybe it was Brother Mitchell, but that said that the best time to fix a marriage is before it starts. That's the best time to start working on it. And while Andre was speaking and Raquel as well, the idea that we all have issues is like a truth that we must get to. That every single one of us have some kind of issue. So when you have two people that have issues, the probability for conflict is high. One of the things I was thinking about was that the more you're aware of yourself going into this relationship, the more you are aware of what is required of you, the more you're aware of who this person is. And so, will help to pave a way of sorts for you to address conflicts going in. All right. But conflicts, I think, will happen. We'll all have our fears. I don't think that some of us even know some of the issues that we have, you know, until the circumstance comes up that brings up that issue. What is beautiful for me, though, is that the framework that God sets helps in that there's an onus in the relationship on both sides. So if he loves you as Christ loved the church, then patience is a big part of that relationship. Forgiveness is a big part of that relationship. So I'm not expecting that she's going to be perfect, and she's not expecting that I'm going to be perfect. And so because we're in this thing together and we're both working towards the same end, then the qualities of Christianity help to get us through these conflicting situations. And it is the more mature, I think, in terms of our Christianity, in terms of us having those qualities that Christ is trying to build into us, is the more it is going to allow us to deal with the situations that come up in our relationship. Because situations will come up. How you deal with them is going to be defined by who you are and who the person you're dealing with.
I have a question. And it's to the audience, not to the brother. Husband love, wife submit. Is it the case that husband must look for submission and wife must look for love in and from each other? Or should each person stay in them lane and work on their responsibilities?
Don't all answer one.
No, seriously, oh gosh. Let me say a while ago. Right. So the Bible, oh Lord. That's what I must remember when I say now, coming out remember me saying now. But seriously, let's hear again. So the verse says, wife submit, husband should love. Should wife look for love and should husband look for submission? Or should each stay in them lane and concentrate upon what they're asked to do?
You want to? A mic is right there, so you can just... And as a question afterwards.
Yeah. My take on that is if husband love your wife, wife love your husband, husband submit, wife submit. You follow me? Because there's an ingredient we have in love. And if all those ingredients are applied, you won't have any problem. Is that some of them are missing? Look at what he talk about. Be kind. You must be considerate, must be long-suffering. You must be patient. You must not talk about yourself. You follow me? Those qualities, those exist from both sides. You don't suppose there are any problems. It's a one love, but love is on one side. So it must come from both sides, and you don't have any problem.
Beautiful. All right, Prim, and then Karen.
Good night. Thank you for incorporating us, young people, in your discussion. All right. So, as a young person, right, and you know, you marry somebody that was a part of the church, right, but then after some time, the person backslides and is now starting to go to a denomination, right, and he is saying to you that, listen, you and I need to go to the same church. You see me? You need to come on my church. Now, is it that we should submit to him in this respect, or there is a level of, you know, submission?
All right, very good question. And I think I'll just first point this question to Raquel, but put it in context with another question that is here that I think could be in line. The question of Prim is asking that is, as a wife, what do you do? You want to submit, but your husband is not a leader. He's not leading down the right direction.
I don't like O'Neill's pressuring us to know. But the first point to Prim's question is that we have to submit to God. You know, there might be times when even your Christian husband sometimes might, when Satan take him, might want you to do something that is against the will of God. And so whether it's a Christian or not, the first thing is that we ought to obey God rather than men. And so we have to submit to God. Even when you are submitting to God, you would communicate in such a way where you're still respectful, where you're still courteous, or you're not going to speak in a way where you're going to disregard the fact that, you know, this is your husband or we have a situation. But the idea is that you have to share that my first responsibility is to God. And just like we say that we love God first, then we love our families and others and so on, that same element will come, will ring through that even in a marital relationship, we have to first submit to God, and then we work out, we have the discussion, and we have the whatever. So the other point, I don't think I should go into the other point yet, Brother Wilson, that question that you asked, because there's a follow-up question. But the question that he asked about, that as wives, we will want to submit, but our husbands are not leading. Well, how do you manage that situation? I think we could probably go into it after, or a little later on, and others can add to the point.
All right. So, yes, I agree with what you are saying, Auntie Raquel. But suppose it goes to the point where he's saying that, listen, if you're not come to my church, we need for divorce, right? Is it that I can divorce him, or we can have a divorce, or I should stay in the marriage and work it out, or I don't know.
You know, one of the things Corinthians state about the unbelieving husband is let him go. Please understand, too, you see, that you see the don't bother believe that because you are a Christian, you cannot fall out of grace with Almighty God. So that the minute you start to not submit your lives and will to Almighty God, then you have changed your position with Almighty God. Okay? And so even so, we might want to treat you a particular way, but you have changed your position because you are no longer, matter of fact, the Bible says, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And so here it is that you say, you are no longer saying, I want to submit to God. And this is God's will for my life, because the fact that I am going to, I'm going to a denomination, whatever, it's all about me, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm no longer about understanding who is the hierarchy or who is the boss in my life and who I must take instructions from. So even if I'm going to a denomination, here's the question. If I read in the Bible that God hates divorce, then it simply means that I have to, you know, re-inform my choice and my decision towards my wife. So while I may want her to come with me, and she said, no, I don't want to come, I cannot now think that I'm going to leave you. I'm going to divorce you. Because the same word of God has informed me, if I'm prepared to submit to it, first and foremost, says that, listen, God don't really want you to do the divorce thing. So that cannot be a part of my go-to, if you understand what I'm saying. So the fact that I'm going there, then it also questions my allegiance to Almighty God. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, submission is not submission at any cost. Your first obligation is to Almighty God. And that has to be above everything else. What does God want me to do in this situation? What pleases God in this situation? And if He's carrying you down a road that is not pleasing to God, then it's not a road that your submission should lead you down.
And I'm just saying, it's a similar thing. What if the wife is a non-Christian, or if she belongs to another denomination? Does she have the same zeal and responsibility to submit to the husband? No. Here is someone who is out of the knowledge of Christ, but the husband is demanding that she be submissive in terms of the scripture would state. And so, again, how do we deal with that aspect of it? Is it that you're going to spend all your time trying to educate the person as to what the scripture says, or trying to convert the person into becoming a Christian, or whatever it is, or so on? But during that time, you could find that if the husband continued to just stick out to this thing, to the whole thing of submission, you could find the relationship start to get, you know, corrosive, so to speak. And if you not be careful, it's pulled apart. So unless there's some sort of a equality in terms of how you understand what the whole thing of submission is, then you're going to have some problem. And I'm also concerned about the whole question of if the wife is not a part of the church, and does she required to be submissive in terms of what the Bible asks, or if she's from a different teaching, does she required also to be submissive?
Let me try and say something.
But I think Karen has a little point on that, and then you can just address it. So, turn 2 points.
Sorry. I know we're running out of time and we soon wrap up. But there are a number of things that came to mind. Sometimes we are talking as if Christians don't go through the same realities as the non-Christian. And a lot of times they do. That we may not hear about them don't mean that they don't exist. In fact, they may bottle them up out of shame, out of fear, not knowing what to do. They may speak to their ministers and get counseling and all of that sort of thing. Some of them, the reality of for a woman losing the breadwinner, you have children who are factored in that you don't know if you split, and yes, you want to do what God says, but you don't know how it's going to work. And you look in the church, being our brother's keepers is not all that it is supposed to be, and so you may not feel that you can go to your brother or your sister in a time of need and support when your husband says, listen, you don't want to do what I say, you need to step. This is a Christian man saying to his Christian wife, you need to move. You need to move on. I mean, you're not going to submit to me. This is no longer, you know. So these are some realities. I don't want us to speak in hypothetically as if to say they don't exist. But one of the other things that you said, I think Kerry said it too, is the best place to start in terms of a good marriage is to deal with it before. And there are young people here. What are some, you're courting, or you're somebody that you like, male or female, look for tell signs, and I'm hoping that you will help them to, because sometimes we're so caught up in the romance, the emotion, the desire to get a husband or a wife. And I know that there are a lot of sisters in the church who feel that there are not enough husbands or quality husbands. They're not husband material. There's so much. What can you do? So they rush into these things. And I tell you something. I've been to ladies' retreat and ladies' day where people say that emotions don't matter, and that if you follow what the scripture says and the two of you are following God, that everything is not going to work out that way. So I want you, if you had something to say to the young people, because they have not gotten into it yet.
All right.
What can you say to them?
All right, quickly then. Women who believe that their role in the marriage is to refine the man. So we're talking about who eventually possibly gets abused, and if you feel that you have to refine the man, to somehow chisel away his rough edges by long-suffering and gentleness. Thus, you neglect your own feelings and personal development. So, this is what you must make certain that does not happen to you before you get into the relationship. What else? Women who are unable to verbalize how they wish to be treated by their husbands, if they feel demanding to make requests or to set firm limits on unacceptable behaviors, you know, do they feel scared to do so? Then something wrong. Women who grow up in homes in which they feel unvalued, ignored, or criticized, they often have a greater tolerance for unacceptable behavior. So sometimes they put themselves, because again of their context, then they almost give the man the right to say and to treat them a particular way. You ask the question, so I'll give you the answers. All I'm saying here, we also have to be mindful of, for some women, it is hard for them to walk away from someone that they genuinely love and who believe, love should be in return. I'm not saying it's a bad belief, I'm saying that's a good belief, but the unfortunate thing, you know, it is painful sometimes when you don't get it back, to go back to how you feel in the relationship. Some women are abused, women feel that they cannot survive financially on their own, so they will stay into this relationship, and they are only submitting in kind, but they are not, but the psychology appears so. They are in prison, and so they're really rebelling, you just don't know, by the way, and that's why they probably hide and go do things, and that's why I think that is called emotional affairs are established a lot of times in relationships, because they feel that man over there is understanding how I feel, as against my husband is not even giving me the time nor the day to listen to my concerns. What if the husband attack her self-esteem to such a point where she feels neither confident nor competent in her very activities, as a put down? Let me... We could have stayed here the whole night with this. Let me think there. Refusing to talk, discounting her sense of reality, refusing to talk about himself to show empathy, refuting your partner's ideas or even feelings, telling her that she can't, well, she has feel so far, and you're too emotional. You know, I'm just saying it's amazing some of the things that we say that consistently, when we hear some of these things, these are supposed to be some red signs that we are, red flags rather, red sign. Stop saying that, but anyway, some red flags that we must see and recognize. We're saying to our young people, if we see and hear some of these things, be it in our own families or even to folks who have been in relationship and feel that way, then it must inform us as to what we must not only look for, but that we will not settle for. Okay? We have more, but I'm just saying, can I give two more? Right. I'm going to give you two more. Discounting her sense of reality, that did not happen. Disguising jokes, often related to her as weak points.
Somebody said, like what?
It's a put down. It's actually a put down, but it's in the form of a joke, right? So you're really attacking not only her worth but her ability to do. Blocking effective communication and changing the subject or talking over her conversation, you know, so she says something or what have you, and him says, so that's once over, listen, that doesn't make no sense to me. And the first word that comes out of your mouth is, that doesn't make no sense to me. You see, so what I'm saying here, and if she push back, you hear say, you must be submissive. And what I'm saying here is, see, sometimes, maybe one of the things we need to teach folks is how to fight fairly. Maybe, as I mentioned earlier, that maybe we also need to look at the fact that, as far as I'm concerned, do I seek my validation from you? Seriously, do I seek my what? Validation from you. Yes, on one hand, we would love for my husband to do this, and we'd love for this to happen. We would love for it to be reciprocating. Just on a quick note here, by the way, just because somebody don't hear about the gospel doesn't mean that it's not only the gospel against Savior. So really and truly, So I still have a responsibility to still educate her that this is the right thing to do. So if she still don't want to accept it, then it doesn't stop me from still trying to reinforce it. That's how I respond. Marriage does not validate you. I think this is a powerful point, because some folks believe that, you know, I need to hear some words from my husband for me to feel special about myself. And while it is good and it is nice, it's like shoes and socks. The two of them go together. If you don't have on the socks, the shoes might not feel too comfortable, right? Provided it's not tight, right? All I'm saying here, so you know, it is nice. However, the question is, though, is it, do I feel less of a person if I don't get the validation from you? God has validated me. I am submitting, as both persons and companions have been saying. I don't see submission as a curse. I don't see the same with the husband, don't see submission. That's why I ask the question to the audience, you know. Must I look for submission, or should I concentrate upon the responsibility that God has given to me? Should I be looking for love, or should I concentrate on the responsibility that God has given to me? I think sometimes we get distracted on looking for, asking the other person to do their part, you know. So we're reading other person's book before we turn our pages. Okay? You know, you need to. And everybody is just competing, comparing, controlling, asking the other person to make the adjustments. And I'm, my the word "stay in your lane" is a statement I learned from my wife. Because I used to say to her, "Hey, you need to," and she said, "Stay in your lane, right? Stay in your lane, man. You, me name wife, you name husband. Okay, so you stop telling me off to be wife, because your role is to be husband. So go and go be husband." Go and go find out what it means to be the best husband, while me staying in my lane and find out what's the best responsibility to be a wife. Stay in your lane, man. And so sometimes, you see, we get distracted and start to look at what the other person is not doing, rather than concentrate on how we need to develop ourselves in the relationship.
Good night, everyone. This is from another spectrum. As the husband in the household is seen as the head and the lead, generally, it is the woman that deals with the finances in the home. You know, the man brings home the money and the lady figures out how to spend it. So if she knows how to run her household, isn't she rather the lead? And that's one question. And two, if a wife is earning more than the husband, is it good to tell her husband that? Because, you know, men like to be the sole provider of the household. Yes.
All right, let me try something. Oh, Lord.
Just summarize it now.
Summarize it now, quick. Summarize that. If the man is...
I got that sole money. How can he be?
Right.
She's earning money, and the money I tell her. Oh, to spend it. She have the money, so or is it that?
But the point is that doesn't make the fact that she spends the money, that doesn't make her the leader. But there are two separate questions you had asked, right?
Daniel.
So her first question was. Let make sure I'm making sure that I understood the first question. If the wife spends the money, the husband takes home the money, the wife spends it, right? You're saying, is it that makes her the leader? Does that make her the leader? But she's running the household. You see, that doesn't take away the leadership from the husband. So it's remember, you know, there we have different roles, and so. The idea and strength. So the idea, I wouldn't be foolish that if I'm not wise, if I don't have the necessary skill sets in terms of finances, the head of the house, it only makes sense that if his wife has those skill sets, of course, because the idea is that we're working together as a unit
to do the best that we have with the resource that we have. Let me just use another example. And it's not a competition exactly. It's not a competition. We're working together to make our relationship and our family the best that it can be. One of the things that I would say, just to add to that example, I remember Mr. Leachin, Michael Leachin, when I was at NZB, he made the point that he doesn't know everything, you know. So he hires the best persons who has the different skill sets that will give him the best organization in the world. And it's a similar thing. The husband, the fact that he might not earn as much as the wife, the fact that the wife earns more than the husband doesn't mean that she's now the head of the family. We got the command, the instruction from God that he's the head of the, that the man is the head of the family. We have different roles. So the role that the wife plays is different from the role that the husband plays. When you put those two together, then you get an effective working unit. And so if she earns more and he earns less, we pool the resources, you make your decisions, and you spend accordingly. If anybody has, I think Kerry want to add something to that? Yeah?
That's simple, you know. The Bible says, where your heart is, there your treasure is also. So if the wife have your heart, give her your money. Where your treasure is, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Then say from Ashua, say, she have my heart, then give her money. Well, it. No, anyways, that was a thing though. But seriously, I concur with everything that Rachel said. I just really want to put in like a jokey part there, but I don't know if Kerry really wanted to say something. Sorry, Kerry.
But you see, that is true too, you know. We have to, the element of trust, we can come back to the point of trust too, that because the discussion and the relationship has to be built on trust. And so if the wife earns $1 million and the husband earns $1,000, Andre wants to say something.
If you you mustn't withhold the money. Is that question about withholding? Don't tell him. It is called financial infidelity, which seriously breaks up. The third reason that breaks up relationship is finances. And so once you start to feel, say, you have got to hide money and you don't want anything there, you know, then what is driving your fear? Clearly, as Rachel say, you clearly don't trust your husband, right? Sorry.
No, I just wanted to clarify, like, you're not telling your husband, you don't, let me phrase it properly. The only reason why you're telling your husband or you want to keep it a secret is in fear of him, like, it will diminish his masculinity. Not that it will cause a problem for the household, but just...
A theme problem that...
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, the question is, all right, first of all, when it comes to the concept of submit, in contrast to the Lord and what He wants to do, then I think the answer becomes very clear cut. As hard as it might be, you know, you are going to submit to the Lord above the person. But those, should I call it softer issues that are not so dramatic, as in going in competition now with God. So if I probably just throw one or two examples. So, as a husband, I wanted to have 5 children.
That's dramatic.
All right. But the wife says no more than 2. that's her belief. She wants to ensure, in her mind, her mindset is that if I go having more than that, then in my rationale, I don't see how I'm going to let them get the type of education. My body is not going to look the way I want it to look. All right. When through some exposure, the husband comes to this thought that instead of buying a house, why should I spend money buying a house when I can rent something my whole life through and enjoy touring the world? And the wife, in her estimation of things, but at some time we're going to stop working. And when they sit down and discuss this, they cannot come to a common ground.
How do you
deal with
that?
They both feel strongly about their position. Does submit continue to mean submit?
Can try first? Try, you know.
Get rid of the tea. No, are you?
I'm trying. You see, Fabian, I can be honest with you. I think we still have not, and I say we know coming from male to female, we still have not understood all of the amazing qualities of what love constitutes. And you see, do we question when God tells us no? No. When we sin and we do wrong, I mean, most of us feel that we have no choice but still to go to Him and ask Him to repent. I mean, ask, you know, repent of our sins, ask Him to forgive us. And most of us don't think that He will not forgive us. I am saying that belief system that we have towards Almighty God is the fact that we genuinely believe that Him have our back. No matter what we do, Him genuinely have our back. So because we believe that it comes like, no matter what we do, we feel like we can always go to Him because He now will dismiss me. Him have my back. And so, I guess the question that each person must ask themselves in the relationship. I guess I'm just giving a scenario here, but maybe I'm not answering your question directly. But it is easier then, I will use that word, it is easier to navigate our ways through those scenarios if we believe the motive of each person. I'm saying it is easier. If we believe that, you see, I gave a scenario earlier. I said, teeth and tongue must meet. Tongue can never bite teeth. Why is it that whenever tongue gets bitten, it continues to function? And remember the answer? You remember the answer? It's not, I didn't go to zero, but anyways. The thing is, so I asked the question then, Fabian. Oh, sorry, I'm never here, sorry. So, 2 8 or somebody here. Alright. The reason why tongue continues to function is because tongue know that when teeth bite me, it was not done what? Intentionally. So tongue, although it's always in a what? Vulnerable position, still continues to function. Although in a vulnerable position, still continues to function because tongue believes, you know something, now that bite again, by the way, but you know something, me know say teeth now set out to bite me. And I'm saying here, Fabian, with that kind of mindset in the relationship, everybody genuinely feels secure. And so the first objective is not so much my way, but both persons coming out to find out what is the most prudent way. Because I don't want to make a decision where the wife go away feeling, geez, you know, I don't feel loved by you. Or the man walk away feeling, boy, I think you could have truly submitted right here. I am saying here, you see, both persons need to feel so secure in the relationship where they recognize that whatever they're putting forward it is for the best interest of the relationship and even as far as the goal of the relationship is concerned.
Okay, alright. As we are about to wrap, we'll give Cheryl an opportunity to ask her question.
My question from is I had 2 points. You, one of them is that you said that our identity will not lose. We are not being submissive. We are not supposed to be losing our identity. But I believe that a lot of times because we are submissive, we lose our identity. And if we are not submissive, then if we continue to hold on to how we are, we seem very unsubmissive.
All right, can I, you see, and that's the problem though. I am saying here, you see, that's why I went through a little list as to some women that will predispose themselves to being abused by a man. Because one of the things that they don't stand up for themselves, okay? Submission don't mean you don't have a brain on your own, okay? Or you cannot identify the wrong or rightness in a situation or the ethics of a situation. Submission don't mean you don't say no. You see what I'm saying? Especially if what you're calling to me. So if you're going to be demeaning and crude and rude, I have a right to say no thank you. If you understand what I'm saying. I have to, but if you feel safe, well, you know something, I can't even have a say into how. You know, one of the things I remind folks, don't ask for permission to be healed by others.
To be what?
Healed by others. Do not ask what?
Permission.
Permission to be what? Healed by others. A usik. So you better think about how can I heal, get healing, or heal myself or whatever. But I cannot. I don't know if I must depend on you, because it's the minute you decide saying I like me, then I'll them say about supper and these canines around.
My next question.
I'll eat the supper, that's what I'm making sure.
My next question is that is two passages in the Bible. I'm at 2 Corinthians 6 verse 15, and it was talking about what. And it says, what concord has Christ with Baal, and what part hath he with he that believeth with what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And you know now that the Bible says also in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 that but if any provide not for his own and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So, in the case of submission now, my husband has become an infidel. He don't provide for him house. What concord has me with him?
All right. Well, a number of things running through my mind. It's bad when you get to them situations. boy. All right. So, your first obligation is to Almighty God. Your first question is, what would God have me to do in this situation? And the question is, how can I please God in this situation? If it is that the situation gets to a point that the relationship no longer allows you to be pleasing to Almighty God, then it's either time for some intervention. You shouldn't even get to that point. But yeah, so one, you need to be looking out for number one. So there's a point where you have to look out for yourself. You have to look out for yourself. If it is that the husband has abandoned his role and abandoned his responsibility, then there is no relationship to be preserving anymore if he has abandoned it. If there can be, and this is me talking, all right, if intervention is possible where you can help to restore and bring back around, then that would be, I believe that's what God would want, because ultimately he wants us, divorce isn't pretty, and ultimately he wants us to be happy, all right? So we should be working at that. But if that cannot be achieved, then I think the Bible also gives us allowance to part. All right? I said submission is not submission at all costs. Submission is not submission at all costs. And if it gets to a point where there is no commonality in terms of mindset and direction and objective and whatever else and thing, then the foundation of our marriage has been lost as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, do you all agree that what Kira said? Anybody that disagrees?
If a woman can say it's over? Or you say a Christian or you say a woman? If a woman can walk away from a relationship? Yes.
All right. So I think what Shirley's trying to bring across is...
Can I say this? Can I say this?
Come on, go ahead.
All right. You see... What is your goal? Is your goal restoration or separation? There are some questions that you must ask yourself. Okay? Let it be said that the bad behavior did not dictate your response. Let it be said that every choice and decision you made, God qualifies it. You understand what I'm saying? As against, we say, the situation... causes me to react and respond this way. You see, I remind folks that we are not created in the image of our feelings or situations. We are created in the image of God. So our situation mustn't change the image of God coming out of us. Okay? So one of the things we need to just be mindful of, that's all I'm saying. Before we make any decision, we just make sure we have a thus state the Lord about our choices. I can be, no, does it mean that I don't set up boundaries going forward? You better believe I'm going to set up boundaries going forward, and you need to set up boundaries going forward. If the man outside and I'm going to do this and what have you and things like that, just know, so listen, you can't just come in my bedroom and whatever. No, you understand what I'm saying? These are some new boundaries, you know. I need to protect myself. I need to protect myself because your action shows me that you are unstable in your action, in your behavior. Very, very unstable. And so I need to protect myself. Now, protecting myself, might mean separation. I never said divorce. It might mean separation. It might mean that you say, I'm going to stay over here, sir, because you are being abusive. You know, you're not carrying out the qualities that God looks for, you know, wants for you to have into a husband. Notwithstanding, I want you to know that I continue to be the best example of a wife to you. Because you see, two wrong don't make a right. Right? And so you see, can I be an example of change to you and for you is a question that I must ask myself. Until, of course, it is clear and clear-cut that this person, it must be clear-cut that this person has totally abandoned the relationship. Going forward.
Very well.
And I guess the point that I want to add to that is that basically, like, I'm just endorsing what Andre said, that in terms of if the husband's lack of leadership should not lower your own, you should not lower your own standards, you know. And I'm hoping that the scenario that you shared, Cheryl, is that before it got to that point, there must have been some intervention, some discussion, some process of helping, some attempt to help, you know, because we certainly hope that it wouldn't have gotten to that point without, you know, weeks and months and years for that to be happening without any kind of help, some intervention, some prayer, some help, some something. And so the point is still valid that an effort should be made for you as the wife to not to lower your standards, because we didn't get to go into it, but even the point when you want to submit but your husband is not leading, how do you manage something like that? How do you work through it? And one of the points is that we have to, as wives, we have to try to make an effort to inspire the leadership in our men. We have to make an effort. We have to help. And Danielle, as young as she is, and she's not married yet, the point that she doesn't want to hurt his ego and so on. But we have to find creative ways to inspire men and our husbands to be great leaders. We have to help them along, because there are things that I might be strong in that my husband might not be strong in. But we communicate and relate in such a way where I give good support, I give encouragement to motivate and to help to bring the person up to the level of leadership to the place that he should be as a leader. I think I should stop now.
Thank you very much, guys. We're running late, so we want to wrap. I really want to give you a couple of final seconds to just give you close remarks, but did something a little bit out of the way. I stopped somebody on the road and asked them their view on submission, and I recorded it. So let's listen, and then following now, I just wanted to, just a little summary, to just quickly conclude in your close remarks. Expand on the comments. Submitting to God is not always pleasant, but is always required. Happily submitting to his wives begins with submitting to God. It may not always be pleasant, but it is always required. So I wanted to just, but just listen to this little comment from somebody.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And we could go on. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Give me your understanding of what the Bible is saying, especially as it relates to wives submitting yourself to your husband. What do you get from that? In your own words.
My own words, be obedient, be supportive. Be obedient, be supportive, be there for your husband, 100%.
Be there?
Yes.
So, the term submit, what type of connotation is it from that term?
Be obedient.
Submit, so be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
So, if your husband says jump high, what does how much times? How high?
In necessary, yeah, because jump can be several different things.
Okay.
Jump, I mean, jump where? And all of that.
Was you at home and
so it's not necessary jump, but it's just being submissive.
Being submissive.
And being obedient in terms of what you're saying, you know, basically what you're saying is that just as Christ say also, men love your wife as Christ loved the church. If he loves his wife as Christ loved the church, or even as himself, then he won't put her in a situation to do something that he knows that is going to harm her. It's going to be difficult. So, hence, be obedient here.
All right. So, this girl is not somebody in the church, but has got a view from somebody, you know, somebody in the street. And so, I just want the members of the panel to just give their close remarks on the statement that was said before the audio, which is, submitting to God is not always pleasant, but is always required. Happily submitting as wives begins with submitting to God. It may not always be pleasant, but is always required. 30 seconds. Andre.
Change your interpretation of your situation. Life don't come with your terms and conditions. And since it doesn't come with your terms and conditions, it necessitates the need for you to adjust. So change your interpretation of your situation. Relog it And maybe you won't see yourself as a victim, but become victorious.
Okay.
I can't speak as eloquently as Andre. But I guess the point that I'd like to make from coming from both weeks of the discussion is that wives are active participants, and wives, we have a lot to offer. And so we come to a marriage situation as helpmeet to our husbands. And for the sake of order, like we said, that God arranged it for the husband to lead and for the wife to follow. But we have to remember the everlasting principle that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And so the husband is the one who has the final responsibility, and he's accountable to God for that. Let us remember that. The wives, we have a responsibility in terms of submitting to that leadership, and we are accountable to God for that. And so when you ask the question, which one would you prefer? Being the head, my head is at the back, and the other husbands are here. Or would you prefer to following the head? And so, sisters and so brothers, and all of us, as we remember, let us submit to God first of all. And when we do that, He will take care of the rest of it for us.
Thank you.
Just sure the Bible does give allowance for the woman to depart. I just had to check the passage, 1 Corinthians 7. I should have said, but and if she depart. Anyway, I think marriage is a serious, serious thing. It's a lifelong, it's expected to be a lifelong commitment. And as such, I think putting the investment for in trying to get into preparing for it. One, in understanding what God expects of you in this relationship, and what is expected of your partner in this relationship. So you need to understand both sides. I think it's important that you understand as best as possible yourself and how it is that I'm going to fulfill this role that God has called me to. If you can find someone, or you should seek to find someone, who also understands his role, and that so both of you would have of a similar mindset in going into this relationship. I think a lot of times we compromise a lot at the front, and then we pay for it down the road. Spend the time up front as best as possible, and then we'll have a better option. We'll have better odds going into it.
So, brothers and sisters, visitors, there, and we just want to say, first of all, thanks to our panelists for coming out second time. We just want to say thanks. You were quite eloquent, and you delivered based on the knowledge and the time that you took to study to pass on the knowledge, and we appreciate it. And the audience, we are thankful to you also for coming out despite the odds. And we just want to thank the ladies' ministry to really put this discussion on. It is very necessary, and it was quite fruitful. So we just want to say thank you to the ladies' ministry, and we pray that God will continue to bless them from strength to strength. So as we